We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
Good afternoon. My name is Christine Fox, and I'm the Deputy Executive Director with CEDA, the State EdTech Directors Association. We are so pleased to have you here today as we learn from students and administrators from Mountain Heights Academy in Utah. Our webinar, Students Collaborate with Digital Tools to Support B Populations. So welcome. We encourage you to put questions and comments in the chat so we can make this a very interactive session. So this community today that we're broadcasting from is part of the EdWeb community. It says, join the community, student voices. And this community has both teachers, administrators, and students. And we'd love for you to participate. There are multiple free resources, other webinars like these, and then you can receive continuing education credits as an administrator or teacher. So I'm excited to share our presenters today. First, we have Delaina Tonks. She is the principal and director of Mountain Heights Academy. It is a full online charter school in Utah. In advance of that, she was a classroom teacher, including teaching French and Spanish. And she has several awards, as you can see here, regarding her administrative skills, as well as business skills and 30 Women to Watch. So we're excited to have Delaina. I had the pleasure of working with her and the students that we'll be sharing shortly. We have four students from Mountain Heights Academy, Donna Train, Kyan Train, Kate Larson, and Emma Davis. I'll tell you a little bit about their participation with CEDA in October. And we were so thrilled with their participation in our in-person event. We wanted to be able to spread the word and share about their work with the larger educational community. So shortly you'll hear about Operation B at Mountain Heights Academy. But first, just a little bit about CEDA. CEDA is a 15-year-old nonprofit that serves, supports, and represents the U.S. digital learning leaders. We provide a forum for state leadership and state departments of education, providing advocacy opportunities, professional learning opportunities, the ability for states to collaborate with one another, as well as with the private sector. And we also work to support states as they best understand federal relations, most currently related to ESSA and other federal programs such as E-Rate. CEDA has a multitude of tools and resources. They are all open and available to the public. Once we publish something, they are also openly licensed as well. So we would encourage you to dig into our website. My colleagues should be posting, and I'll post some links in the chat shortly for these variety of resources around broadband implementation, procurement at the state level, digital instruction material, policies, and practices. So we encourage you to leverage those. There are examples from a multitude of districts in each of these, and we love to hear examples from you. So if you're a school or district that has a powerful example of leveraging digital learning, I will post my email in the chat, and we would appreciate learning more about your work. A little bit about the Student Voices program. This is almost our 10th year of the Student Voices, where our members, state leaders, thought it was important to hear from students in the field. So each year, states nominate a school or district that they feel exemplifies opportunities for digital learning. And then a cohort of CEDA leaders, as well as members from the private sector, do vote on the winner. You can learn more at this link. And the winners receive the Elsie Brombeck Scholarship. This scholarship provides their transportation to the DC area, as well as their housing and their ability to participate in the event. All of the Student Voices winners present at CEDA's annual leadership summit. So we were proud this year. We had four finalists, and I'd like to give them a little bit of kudos. You can learn more about them on our website. Wilder School District in Idaho, Public Schools of Calumet, Lorem, and Key, and I'm butchering the names of these Michigan districts, I apologize, as well as Mountain Heights Academy, who was our winner, and then Sheridan County Dual School District in Wyoming. So we have a multitude of schools nominated. It is a rigorous selection process, and we are always sad to just have four finalists and one winner, but that is the reality of our program. But we're excited to have these students share more today. So I'm going to turn the session over now to Delaina Tonks, the director of Mountain Heights Academy, so you can learn more not only about their school, but also about Operation B. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. We're excited to be here with you today. I am thrilled to be able to talk to you a little bit about Mountain Heights Academy. We are basically a full-service online school. We have 700 full-time students and about 250 full-time or part-time students. And it would be really easy for me to sit here and tell you about it, but I thought you might want to see what Mountain Heights Academy looks like for yourselves. So EdWeb will now play video one for us.
Mountain Heights Academy is the highest-rated online school in Utah, dedicated to providing an academically rich experience for all of its students.
We found that they had options later on as the kids got a little bit older for concurrent enrollment and college credit, and that was something that we wanted our children to be able to take advantage of.
Mountain Heights Academy has a partnership with Weber State, where I can take college courses and get both high school credit and college credit.
Award-winning teachers create award-winning curriculum aligned to state standards. Schoolwork is divided into weekly modules, which students can access at any time, creating a flexible, school-on-demand environment. Mountain Heights Academy is an accredited 7th through 12th grade school, where students earn credits and graduate with a diploma. Because the curriculum is online, students can't lose assignments or lose track of what they should be doing in each class, especially since the school provides a laptop for students to use. That means students can do school anywhere, making it fit into their schedule, not the other way around.
I do appreciate being able to do the activities that I feel are important to do with my family and being able to fit school around that.
At Mountain Heights, school is a partnership between the parents, the student, and the school. Parents stay informed through weekly email updates. Plus, they have access to their own parent portal that shows student progress, time spent on task, and current grade and teacher feedback.
The best part about it as a working mom was that I could access this information anytime I needed to. One of the funniest things I loved is that I was able to text her in the middle of the day and say, "So, I guess you're still missing this assignment." And she would text back and say, "How the heck did you know that?" And really didn't like how I knew everything all the time. But for me, I loved it. I felt far more involved than I would ever have felt in a traditional neighborhood school.
Teachers welcome parent assistance, but it's not required. Instead of teaching several classes throughout the day, teacher time is spent working with students individually or in small groups.
What's wonderful how she has all these great professionals and a whole team of them at her disposal.
My teacher was pretty much just like a tutor for me. She was always there for me every time I had a question. She was there to help me, and she was always positive about it.
Caring teachers truly get to know their students, their needs, and how to partner for success. Each month, students have the opportunity to participate in a service learning project, such as reading to elementary school students, helping at an animal shelter, or serving at the Utah Food Bank. Students who provide 50 hours of service each year are eligible to earn the President's Volunteer Service Award. To date, Mountain Heights Academy has provided over 60,000 hours of service to those in need. Social activities such as going to the opera, having a barbecue in the park, learning about ecosystems at the Living Planet Aquarium, and even attending prom at the Capitol each year provide lots of opportunities to get to know other students from all over Utah.
There's kind of a misconception about when a student comes home to do school that their social life will suffer. And what I have really noticed with my daughter is that she has actually become more confident and more social, and she goes after social interactions a lot more than she used to.
At Mountain Heights Academy, we have activities, we have prom, we have student body officers, and service activities, and lots of time to interact and get to know people and have friends.
Additionally, Mountain Heights offers a variety of leadership opportunities. Class officers and student senators are elected each fall. Peer mentors and peer tutors are available to help students improve their grades. Student clubs provide additional opportunities for leadership, as students participate in art, chess, photography, history, fitness, yearbook, and world language clubs. Students get the attention they need and the time they deserve at Mountain Heights Academy.
So that just gives you a nice overview of what our school looks like. And while we're bringing the slides back up, I'd like to say a special thank you to EdWeb for inviting us to do this presentation today, and also to CETA for hosting. We're thrilled to have been chosen as the Student Voices winners, and these girls have had a fantastic experience with their interaction with both CETA and EdWeb. So thank you for that. We thought you might like to understand the size of Utah. So we overlaid it on the eastern seaboard of the United States, and you can see that it covers about six states and swallows up part of the ocean as well. This is important because we, in Utah, our students live all over the state. It takes about 8 hours to go from the top to the bottom, and about 5 hours to go from one of the sides to the other side. So it's a big state geographically. You can see that the majority of our students live in the middle of the state, but that we do have some outliers. If you take a look at the red pins on this slide, that represents where all of us live. You can see on the far right, close to the Colorado border, Kiana and Donna, that's where they live. Down in the southern part of the state, our tech director lives down there. Kate and Emma and I all live in the middle of the state, close to the office where we're presenting from today. And then their science advisor is closer to the Nevada border. So with these students being spread all over the state, it's very important for them to be able to leverage technology to collaborate together. And they're going to tell you about that now.
Hi, I'm Emma Davis from Sandy, Utah. I'm a full-time student at Mountain Heights Academy. I chose Mountain Heights because it allows me to be more flexible with my time. When I did competitive gymnastics, I was at the gym 4 to 5 hours each day. I had to leave around 2:30 and wouldn't be back until 7. I'd do my schoolwork until I had to leave, and when I got home, I would do another 2 to 3 hours. Mountain Heights Academy gave me the flexibility to excel in gymnastics, but more importantly, as a student.
Hello, I am Kate Larson from Cedar Hills, Utah. I started attending Mountain Heights Academy in the 7th grade, about a month into the school year. I first started out with my local junior high, but that just didn't work out for me. And when I transferred to Mountain Heights, everything changed. I met the most encouraging and positive teachers who then opened the doors for me to truly enjoy learning. Since then, Mountain Heights Academy has given me service opportunities, a chance to constantly strive to do my best and fulfill my desire to do well educationally.
Hi everyone, I'm Donna Train from Mountain Utah. I started attending Mountain Heights Academy in the 8th grade and continue as a full-time student this year as well. Before I started Mountain Heights Academy, I attended a different charter school. Our parents were the ones who introduced us to Mountain Heights Academy, along with our sister, who was also a student at Mountain Heights. Through my school experience, I have met so many amazing people, but the best part of Mountain Heights is that it has brought so many possibilities and opportunities in my life.
Hey, I'm Kiana. I'm from where Donna comes from. Technically, we live in the middle of nowhere. However, through Mountain Heights, we are able to be super flexible with school and a rigorous competitive dance schedule. We currently go to Mountain Heights as well as our local high school. To be honest, Donna and I are like the real-life Hermione Grangers, taking on 9 classes in our freshman year. It not only brings out our nerdy side, but it also shows how we strive to learn. This school continues to bring us so many amazing opportunities. P.S. Check out this video to see how Mountain Heights works for us.
We're the same, but we're different. I'm crazy.
I'm more casual.
I feel like I'm getting more, because I'm able to work at my own pace and get more education that I need.
I like to get things done so that I can clear up for my busy schedule.
I like to take a little bit more time because then I don't feel as stressed out. Mountain Heights works for me.
It also works for me.
So you're from all across the country and some out of the country, wow, in all different roles coming together to collaborate and make a difference in our world. We did that too. All of us from different parts of the state of Utah formed a team to help our environment. So how did we do it? we will tell you a little bit about how we stay connected with other students and teachers, even though we aren't in a classroom together.
As students, we get the opportunity to participate in school primarily through the use of computers. At student orientation, we are given our supplies needed for each class, including our computer and the pen tablet. The computers are one of the most helpful tools because this is where we access our classes, work with our teachers, and meet in study groups. My sister also goes to Mountain Heights, so before I had a school computer, we would fight over who got to use our computer first. With our school computers, we no longer have to argue. At our school, we also get pen tablets, which are basically a writing pad you can use with your computer. They are especially helpful in math, where they are like a digital blackboard. I can write and work equations just like on paper. So easy. These technology tools are pretty simple stuff, but give me a computer, a pen tablet, a webcam, and a mic, and I have everything I need from school. With those few things, I can take my school wherever I go.
Even though my classroom might be at my kitchen table and Emma's might be at the library, we don't have any trouble meeting up. We have lots of web conferencing options. The one our teacher uses the most is Blackboard Collaborate. All of our teachers hold weekly study groups in Blackboard Collaborate, which gives us opportunities to meet other peers and show our teacher how much we are learning. There are so many things you could do when you meet like this. You could raise your hand without actually getting tired of raising your real arm. You could answer questions that your teacher asks by using your mic or just by typing in the chat box. When you're doing a math study group, you could help solve the problem that your teacher is teaching, or you could, with a reading study group, you could take turns with your peers reading chapters. I know we aren't all in the same physical room together, but let's be honest. That's sometimes just a fuss. I get all the benefits of collaborating with my teachers and peers in my classes, but without the uncomfortable desk and four seating charts. Google G Suite for Education, another tool that has let us been able to work together as a group. We have Gmail, Hangouts, Google Drive, Drawings, Slides, Forms, and more. There are two main reasons we love our Google apps. One, we can all work together anytime. Any one of us can hop on a spreadsheet or document and add to it, and even better, track who changes what. We don't need to send anything back and forth, we can just work together. It's that kind of thing that makes work durable, instead of just miserable. My teacher just needs my links, not files, and they can work right along with us, commenting and helping us edit. And the second reason we love our Google apps, in the cloud, nothing ever gets lost. My mom and teachers tell me horror stories of them losing their work because they accidentally forgot to hit the save before closing the file. That is so 2002. We definitely don't have your technology problems.
We have lots of other technology tools we use too. VoiceThread, Flipgrid, Prezi, Blogs, GoAnimate, Quizlet, Weebly, Screencast-O-Matic, and Actively Learn. Every one of these tools is web-based, and every one lets us collaborate online. The only thing that can keep me from my school and my friends, slow internet. These are a few things that we have done in our classes.
For my art class, we use the blog platform, Blogger. Each of us post our art and can show our creativity through our work. Other students can comment on how each other's art piece has inspired them. It is a lot easier to give real feedback when I can type it. You then can read it over and over again. That kind of stuff sticks with you.
I have used Prezi to create lots of different projects for my classes. I built this one for my English class, and I also use Prezi for our Operation B lessons. Since this past May, I have been using Weebly, a program that allows you to create amazing websites. I have used Weebly for my digital photography class with Mountain Heights to share my photos with my fellow classmates, and the other two were for Operation B.
Some of my teachers use Flipgrid. They post a video or ask a question, and we get to post our own video to discuss it. I could add GIFs and emojis and get feedback. Pretty cool. Activity Learn is another way we collaborate online. The teacher posts a group reading and we could each make comments, answer questions, and see what each other have to say about the reading.
It's probably pretty obvious that we live in the tech world, and we like it. It is all of these things that make it possible for us to work together. Even though we live hours from each other, in fact, it's probably better because we live hours from each other. We are individuals, and we have definitely taken advantage of that.
So far, we have talked about why we came to Mountain Heights and how we leverage technology to work together, but we haven't explained exactly what it is we worked on.
We are the B Team! We are Operation B.
As Team Operation B, we wanted to address the problem of decreasing numbers in Bs. We knew we couldn't fix the problem on our own, but we felt like we can educate other students, and over time, we can make a difference. So we set out to create something that could be shared and used in elementary schools. We are participating in a project run through the U.S. Army called eCyber Mission, where we address a problem in our community using STEM techniques and leverage technology to assist us in creating the solution. This is the second year that our project focuses on trying to help the bees. But this year, we went a little bit bigger. We decided not to just build a solution for our own backyards, but to build a curriculum that would last long after the competition ended.
Our curriculum has four pieces: teacher lesson plans, student lab manuals, a slide presentation, and a website. Our lesson plans have three different activities.
In Activity 1, Becoming Familiar with Bees, students learn about bees and wasps and how they can identify them. They learn why bees, even though they are considered pests, are so crucial to our environment.
Activity 2 is called Solitary Bees and Engineer a Bee Nesting Box. Students learn about solitary bees, which are bees that do not live in hives, which are actually the majority of bees, but are typically not recognized. Students will also be able to design and build a native nesting box for the bees.
Activity 3 lets students apply what they have learned about bees, coupled with increasing their observation and data collecting skills. Students actively collected data on their school grounds, and they collected data on the numbers and types of bees, and each student used the lab manual, or mission folders as we call them, to record this critical information.
Ed Webb will now play video 4 for us, Becoming Familiar with Bees.
Heyo, I'm your friendly bee investigator, Kiana.
And I'm your friendly bee investigator, Donna.
Go ahead and open up your lab manuals to page 2. There you'll find a pine cone! Not really, but really what you'll find are a whole bunch of different types of bees and where they live.
And also what they look like and how they behave.
Okay, does any of you have any questions? Yes, you in the back. Yeah, you're going to have to go ahead and ask your teacher. I don't know what you're saying because I can't hear you. Okay, what we're going to be doing is scrolling down to the fourth page while you guys open up to the fourth page. And there you'll find,
at the bottom, a little chart that you could fill out what you're seeing
at home,
at your school,
or in your neighborhood.
This is our mission.
We give to you.
Friendly
Bee
Investigator.
Signing out.
We are taking Operation B to schools across the state of Utah. So far, we have been able to visit 5 different schools and work with over 356 students. We have 6th grade students. We have shared the lesson plans, support materials, and lab manuals with each of these schools and have shown them examples of bee nesting boxes and how they can build nesting boxes to help the bee population in their neighborhoods.
We will now show a video about how to make a nesting box. Video 5. Thank you, Ed Webb.
Hi! I am Friendly Bee Investigator, Kate. Thank you for coming today. In this assignment, you'll be designing and engineering your own native nesting box. Now let me explain the purpose of this assignment. A native nesting box is a house for solitary bees, or bees that don't live in colonies or hives.
A lone, lonely loner!
What? Okay. I'm now going to guide you through some key points of the assignment.
Dues!
Some ideas to get you started could be the following materials that you think you could use in your design. Just anything lying around your house will work perfectly. Paper straws, empty toilet paper rolls or wrapping paper rolls, rubber bands, plastic water bottles, as long as the bees never actually touch the plastic, old gardening pots that aren't being used, old wood that isn't being used, plain paper is amazing. You can get a whole pad of this paper at the Dollar Tree. Bamboo, if you have it, is great, etc. Get creative!
Don't.
Here is a list of materials that you should not use. Any paper that has a waxy coating, so magazine paper, lined paper, basically anything with ink or a waxy surface. You can use plastic, but only if there is a material on the inside, so the bees will never actually make physical contact with the plastic. Glue. The only time when you can use this is when you are using the glue to stick something onto the actual box, like the second example in your assignment. Just don't let the bees touch this. To sum it up, try to think outside of the bee box, and plastic straws, which are not good due to the plastic material.
I'm now signing off. Thank you for helping Operation Bee, and I can't wait to see what you all come up with.
We'll now show you what it looked like for a classroom observation in video number 6. Thank you, EdWeb.
Are you giving enough detail about the weather, including the temperature, if it's sunny, rainy, cloudy, and if it's windy? You'll also need to specify how big of an area you are tracking and how many plants are in that area. It is also important to look closely at the bees, as you learned in the friend or foe section.
It was really fun, but kind of crazy too. We had groups as large as 60 students at a time meeting with us. We started our visit by giving each student a survey. We gave the survey to the students to help us gauge what they already knew about the bees before starting their project. And here are some pictures of us presenting to the students. That was really fun. Yeah, woo! After our introduction, it was time for the students to do their part. We left their teachers with the lesson plans, materials, and lab manuals and let them be busy on their own. After a 3-week window, we visited the classrooms a second time to collect the lab manuals, present them with a mission accomplished certificate, and share a sweet treat with them.
We'll take a look at video 7 now, EdWeb. Thank you. And now we'll take a look at Kiana and Donna doing their presentation at a different elementary school in video 8.
Honey, which in turn helps us because it gives us a third of the food we eat.
I have strawberries, a garden, and some flowers.
As ninth grade students, we are just starting to learn about this process. Sometimes it feels bigger than us, but we know that by small changes, we can help make a big difference. Bees are tiny, but they work in groups. So do we. Bees travel over distances to pollinate and help things grow and multiply. So can we. Another characteristic of bees is that they share. Really, that is their job. They are sharing pollen, so that's what they do. So our bee team, we don't just want to build and buzz. We share too.
One of the most unique experiences we have had is being able to work online together and collaborate, as being able to create OER, Open Educational Resources. It plays a huge part in our Operation Bee, and it is important for you to understand why. Open Educational Resources, OER, are educational materials that are in the public domain or have been released under an open license that lets people reuse, remix, and revise them. Our bee team has two purposes. One was simply to help the bees. As Operation Bee, we are on a mission to help bees pollinating friends. However, we also wanted to create curriculum that
teachers could use in their classrooms without worrying about copyright. That means we needed to build a license and license it as OER. Through this experience, we learned that open educational resources are all about sharing, sharing what we care about, helping the bees, and making it easy for teachers to share with their students.
Because we built and licensed our Operation B curriculum as OER, Open Educational Resources, we can do magic. Because we can give something away without it being given away. Teachers can take Operation B and use it as is, or they can reuse, remix, and revise it to fit the lessons to their class and their students. That's why OER is so powerful. Here is how we started the OER process.
At our school, Mountain Heights Academy, our teachers use OER for almost all of our classes. Almost all of our lessons and assignments are OER. Our teachers are really, really good at sharing. And our teachers don't just share with us and with other teachers. They teach us how to share too. We get opportunities to co-create OER content for some of our classes.
One of my first experiences with building OER was when I was in seventh grade. End of the year testing was coming up, and my science teacher was getting very creative in how to prepare for the test. One of our assignments was to create review notes and activities for the units. Here is one of the review pages that I created when I was 12 years old, and that is still being used in the class now. I didn't just learn the seventh grade science, I actually got to create and build too, and that was truly amazing. When we started Operation B, it was pretty obvious that we were going to build it with OER. Because of that, there were some important things to consider as we worked on it. Our school teaches us about the proper use of shared material. We learned to cite our sources, make sure the information listed was correct, double-check to make sure that everything matched up. It was a lot of work, but it definitely pays off in the end.
For Operation B, we knew we needed lots of pictures for our lesson plans. We aren't professional photographers, and we definitely haven't tracked down every type of bee there is out there. But we know of people who have. At least we know of them. We spent a lot of time online looking at bee images that were Creative Commons licensed. These are pictures that a photographer has specifically licensed for sharing and reuse. We learned how to use these images the right way by using proper attributions and acknowledging the photographer's work.
It's a tribute. Attributing, get it? OER may mean free to share, but it doesn't mean you ignore who created the content to begin with. Giving people credit for the work they have done is always the right thing to do. OER isn't just about free stuff. It's about giving people shout-outs and virtual high-fives. And it is also about people hopefully sharing back, because that's our next step as Operation B. We have started the process of teaching students in our state about bees, and now we have over 350 students working together to collect data that we will share, that they will share back with us. We have just started the process of compiling this data, and we'll be adding to it as more students and schools participate in Operation B. We will be able to track bee activity in Utah as we collect pollinator numbers and types in different parts of the state.
We realized that to get a good idea of bee population, this data will need to be collected over many years. That's why our content is OER and our data will be OER. Teachers can use Operation Bee across the country and expand this mission to help their pollinating friends. After all, they are in charge of over one-third of our agricultural produce. We are both collecting and sharing our open data on our website, operationbee.weebly.com. Now that you have heard of what our mission is, we want to invite each of you to go back to your state and implement Operation B in at least one elementary school. Although specifically written for sixth grade students, the slide presentation was recently used with a class of kindergarten students. So the possibilities for adaptation are endless, especially since the lessons are Creative Commons licensed and teachers can remix and revise as they need to.
Planting seeds will increase the amount of food available to bees and other pollinators. In the spring, plant the bees and help the bees. We also encourage you to participate in our Flickr Photo Fund contest. Although this has ended, you can still enter your photos to help with educational resources. So use the hashtag MHA Operation Bee. We want to run this contest to increase the number of bee pictures that can be shared and used for educational purposes.
We would still love to run this project with places that have pollinators active right now. If you are interested in taking part in Operation Bee, please email us at operationbee@nelsonheightsacademy.org for further information. The link to our website is operationbee.weebly.com, as said in the chat box. From there, you can access all the lesson materials and even report your school's data. When your students collect data, please have them share it with us. Imagine how much good we can do through something small and simple. In our vision, our students throughout the United States will learn, document, and share their data with others interested in bees. There are a lot of things that had to happen to bring Operation Bee together. We needed technology to be able to collaborate and work as a group. We needed teachers and a school that valued sharing and open education enough to teach us about it. And we need the support of schools and teachers across the country to make an impact on our environment.
Bee share.
We share.
And we care.
Thank you.
Okay, girls, you did a great job explaining how we use open educational resources at our school. One thing that you may not know, for all of you in the audience members, our school was founded by Dr. David Wiley, who is one of the biggest proponents of open educational resources. We were the first secondary school in the world, following in the footsteps of university giants such as Harvard and Brigham Young University, University of Utah State University, MIT. Lots of the universities started using open educational resources, making their courses available to the public, and we were the first secondary school to do that. We started operation in 2009. This is our ninth year, and we have our teachers work as instructional designers to build the content aligned to the state standards, and then once the teachers are comfortable with that process, we invite the students in, because pedagogically it provides a great opportunity for students to learn the material better if they're working to create and design it. So at this point, we would love to be able to answer all of your questions that you have, either about the Bee Project, about the school, about the students, anything you'd like to know.
Delana, this is Christine. It looks like there was a question earlier about working directly with scientists, if the students were able to work with scientists.
Oh, well, our science teachers are pretty great here at Mountain Heights. Yes, I have contacted quite a few people that are around the state of Utah. As a matter of fact, I just created a website where I contacted, I think, 14 environmental experts from all around the state of Utah, and like from Tracy Aviary and all these big places, and contacted them and they got back to me. So that was amazing to have that resource, and I shared it with my team and it's been great.
Great. It would be great if you could include that in the chat, the website you're talking about. And so, but you did direct outreach personally, and then you're able to share that information from with your teammates. So that's wonderful. So there was a question about the accessibility of your lesson plans and where they're available. We've put that in the chat several times. I would encourage the participants to add additional questions. I wanted to ask how the students, I know you've gone into different elementary schools. Are those ongoing relationships with those particular schools or classrooms, or do you just kind of do a guest appearance at the school as a one-time event?
We went in twice. So the first time was okay. to introduce our project and give them all the information they needed to collect their data, and then 3 weeks later we came back and we collected the data they had given us and gave them their certificate. And then there is one class that we're still kind of working with. They're making their native nesting boxes in the spring,
so we'll go there at some point. So yes.
Great. No, that's really helpful. And I had another question for Donna and Kiana. When you are kind of farther away from the rest of the community, you went to a different school. Do the teachers near you, if you went to one classroom, have you seen it all where you've heard maybe that other teachers have decided to include these lessons as well? Or do you know?
quick thing, it's Kiana, but
sorry about
we're
that.
Not super sure, but lots of the students were her, and then answering like the past question, because we went in both years, we got one class the same time or again, so they knew us, and so it was kind of familiar, and we were able to kind of like build on top of what we already taught them.
It was kind of a review for them.
Yeah.
No, that's important. That's important. So Kelly from New Jersey would like to know where the concept initiated. So I don't know if that was through one of the students or Delana. Oh, okay.
So Emma, me, Kiana, and Donna, we competed in the same A Cyber Mission competition last year where we entered as the V team. And so we did basically the same thing, but we didn't do as much as we did this year. Last year, we just went in and gave a packet of seeds to each student. While this year, we actually created a curriculum and planted flowers and had the students collect data. So this year, we wanted to compete again, and Emma joined us. And we decided to further our project, and that's how Operation B came to be.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Great. I have a question, but I want to follow up. Someone mentioned in the chat that their husband is a beekeeper. So I wondered if there's any kind of beekeeper organizations or any other outreach you've done on that end to try to involve professionals.
Well, right next to our house, actually, there is a beehive where beekeepers come and stuff. And we know the people that own that, and we've kind of come in contact with them, not a whole lot, but still we know them and have kind of gotten in contact with them. So yeah,
they give us free honey.
Yeah,
a bonus.
Yeah. Definitely. And then Delana, I had a question for you and your administrator and teacher team. It looks like the students have a lot of liberty here as far as freedom of building websites and creating resources. So how do you balance the guidance and providing the students freedom at the same time on projects like this? I'm guessing this is one of many projects that your students participate in.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good question because we have accountability measures and state standards that we adhere to. The what is static, but the how gives us a lot of flexibility. And so in the classrooms, they go through and they do their work. Everything's presented in a weekly folder that's due Friday by 6 o'clock. However, they do have the option to participate in project-based learning things like the eCyber Mission, the Science Fair, the Science Fair project that they put together. And there are several of these going at any given time. We have another team working on hydroponics right now and doing hanging plants and a variety of different things there. So you have your staple, your core curriculum that everybody goes through. And then for those who want more, it's really about differentiating the instruction. And for the students who want additional opportunities to present, to do projects, to think big, and to have the freedom and flexibility to exercise that, then they're able to do that here at Mountain Heights Academy. We serve a diverse range of students. About a third of our students are struggling students with 504s and IEPs, and probably 20% are really high achieving students, and then the rest are just middle of the road kids. They come to school, they do their thing, and so differentiating that instruction to meet the needs of all of the different types of students that we serve across the state is challenging, and this is one of the ways that we've chosen to address it, to allow the advanced students to be able to work on projects outside of class, to interact with professionals in the field, and take a look at different career choices that they might be interested in. And if we have time, I'd love to hear about their career choices and if they've been influenced at all by some of the things that they've learned at Mountain Heights Academy.
Oh, no. I'll start, I guess. Okay. I would personally love to become a zoologist, and I really am interested in wildlife, and I would mainly the orangutans. And so I would love to move to Borneo, Brunei, which is a small country by Indonesia and Malaysia, and just help save them and do all I can. And a way that Mountain Heights has helped me do be more passionate about that is I am in the middle of writing a intense biology research paper. And as my topic, I chose to try to get in contact with organizations all over the world that are leading in wildlife and just protecting wildlife. And I've had a few responses, and so it's been amazing. So, yeah.
Well, I don't really know, but with Mountain Heights, I can, I'm able to, like, explore more careers and everything. I'm looking, I kind of want to be a vet, but also, like, pharmaceuticals and medical, so, still exploring.
Kiana, what about you?
Well, I'm kind of with Emma, not really sure, but ever since, like, second grade and up to now, I've really loved the aspect of performing and dancing and stuff like that. And I'm really mostly leaning towards like acting and stuff. And I've loved the idea of just portraying myself on stage and performing in front of people and hopefully, you know, like inspiring others. So yeah,
pretty much the same for me, but also like being having the flexibility of Mountain Heights, we're also able to go to our other school and do drama and play violin, and so we have the flexibility to be able to do those classes to gain the experiences we want.
Yeah.
Great. No, and it's great to have a diverse group, and you all are young, and ninth grade is there's you have a lot of time to decide, but it's great to see the entrance in science. I see in the chat, specifically, there are some details about the native bee monitoring and inventory program that folks can learn more about, as well as the opportunity to share in Flickr so that your photos are then available to other educators and students. And then we did have a question in our Q&A box about the hives that you're working with. I think the group is more working with individual nesting boxes. I don't know if you're tracking how many have been put around schools or homes, if you have any data on that.
We had a couple of our locations that we worked with when throughout this year. One of them made several native nesting boxes. Like, how many do you think they made? Like
10.
10, yeah. They made a lot, and so that was really great. And they're going to place them in their yards and at their school around that area. And we also, each of us, me, Emma, Kiana, Donna, and our advisor, we all grew a huge thing of flowers that we delivered to each of the schools to observe and record their data of the bees each day. So,
and we're still going through our data that we got from them.
It's a lot.
Gotcha. Okay, great. So, and as I think was mentioned earlier, you'd love to hear from educators around the country and them sharing how you've done, they've potentially developed nesting boxes or used your lesson plan so you can add to that data. All right. I think that's all the questions, but I'll give one more opportunity if folks have something to share or ask.
I did want to mention, Christine, that all of the materials that are used, the lesson plans and all of that, they will be, they're available. You can go to the Operation Bee website and find them. They are open educational resources. They're Creative Commons licensed. So any educators out there that would like to take these lesson plans pre-made, student approved, right? You can take these in, and use them in your classes as well.
Wonderful. Well, I'd like to thank all of the lovely students from Mountain Heights Academy, as well as Delana Tonks for coordinating this. This is another way to spread the word. At CETA, we're proud of being able to share student voices, as EdWeb has shared that they have a student voice community, and we do want to hear more about how your schools and districts are empowering students. So I did put a link in the chat earlier. If you'd like to be considered for CETA Student Voices Award for 2018, you'd need to reach out to your CETA member. So someone from your State Department of Education that could potentially nominate you. And we would encourage you to do that because as I've said before, this is one of the best parts of my job. And it is a highlight of our leadership summit each year where folks that are at the state level that deal with a lot of policy and practice and implementation get to see a lot of what they've done come alive. I know in Utah, the Utah Department of Education has been very supportive of the use of open educational resources. They have staff at the state level that provides the opportunity for teachers to develop OER, as well as their digital learning team has really been proactive in providing digital learning opportunities, as well as the team at UEN. So Utah has a lot to have provided the support for things like this to happen across the state. So I'd like to thank everyone, wish everyone a very happy new year and a great day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.